let's turn this morning into our Bibles to Revelation chapter 17. Last week we spoke of religious Babylon, being judged at the midpoint of the tribulation when the Antichrist demands that he be worshipped as God. And today we're going to look at that commercial Babylon judged at the end of the tribulation. And, you know, as I go through this, you'll see sometimes when it sounds a lot like a city, other times it just sounds like the spiritual Babylon. And I do my best to separate them out, but you feel free to go out and dig into it yourself. It seems that it has a double meaning it places throughout chapter 18. As we begin in verse 1, and after these things, in other words, everything he'd seen up to that point, I saw another angel come down from heaven, having great power, and the earth was lightened with his glory. Then he cried mightily with a strong voice, saying, Babylon the great is fallen, and has become the habitation of devils, and the hold of every foul spirit, and a cage of every unclean and hateful bird. For all nations have drunk of the wine of the wrath of her fornication, and the kings of the earth have committed fornication with her, and the merchants of the earth are waxed rich through the abundance of her delicacies. Now, when it says here, Babylon the Great is fallen, when the trade towers came down, there were some people that went right to Revelation 18 and said, wow, look at that, Babylon the Great is fallen. Speaking of the two towers. I guess that's one way to look at it. It certainly was a financial center, but that's not the right time period. God's angels declares here the destruction of commercial Babylon, the center of this political, this religious system. As John has seen the coming destruction here of the one world harlot religious system, now he receives a new revelation as another angel comes through down from heaven, attacking the powerful, attacking the wealthy, whose heart is not toward God, this one world political economic system. And, you know, look around, read the news, and you see all these governments imploding for lack of funds. It's because when the heart of man is not ruled by the heart of God, ultimately our self takes over, and our self is greed. And self-centered, and that's what we see happening around the world. And it says here that this angel's glory will light up the heavens, suggesting that he'll come directly from God's presence is an indication. In Ezekiel 43 verse 2 says, Behold, the glory of the Lord of Israel came from the way of the east, and his voice was like a noise of many waters, and the earth shined with his glory. We know that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. But lightened man can mean this angel gave off great light, you know, as if it were a huge floodlight or a bit great big bright light, or it can lead to like enlightenment, bringing light, you know, leading people from the darkness into the light. Certainly, God sends the sun for the daylight. I mean, the stars are out there right now, but we can't see them because the sun's too bright. God sent his son, Jesus, to lead us out of darkness. I walked in darkness for decades, and he led me out of that darkness, and he does that. He leads us out of a spiritual darkness, and this angel prophesies about the future of this Babylon the Great, and it will fall and become the habitat of demons. That's what it's referring to here, a dwelling place of evil spirits, a home to, well, it speaks of unclean birds, but really this talks of spiritual wickedness in high places, demons also, a dark place, a loathsome place. If you would turn in your Bibles to Jeremiah chapter 50, verse 38, I want to read through some verses with you this morning. Isaiah and Jeremiah are kind of easy to find. They're right in the middle of the Bible, and they're in alphabetical order. So when you pop open your Bible in the middle, it usually hits Jeremiah or Isaiah, one or the other of them. So I'm looking at Jeremiah chapter 50, verse 38. Many think that this prophecy is being fulfilled in this area of Scripture and Revelation. Isaiah 50:38, a drought is upon her waters, and they shall be dried up. for it is the land of graven images, and they are mad upon their idols. Therefore, the wild beasts of the desert with the wild beasts of the island shall dwell there, and the owls shall dwell therein, and it shall be no more inhabited forever. Neither shall it be dwelt in from generation to generation. As God overthrew Sodom and Gomorrah, so shall no man abide there, neither shall any son of man dwell therein. Now go to the left, to Isaiah, Isaiah 13, verse 19. Similar prophecy, Isaiah 13, 19. And you'll catch the reference here. It says in Isaiah 13, 19, and Babylon, the glory of kingdoms, the beauty of the Chaldees' excellency, shall be as when God overthrew Sodom and Gomorrah. It shall never be inhabited, neither shall it be dwelt in from generation to generation, neither shall the Arabian pitch tent there. Neither shall the shepherds make their fold there, but wild beasts of the desert shall lie there, and their houses shall be full of doleful creatures, and owls shall dwell there, night creatures, and satyrs shall dance there, and the wild beasts of the island shall cry in their desolate houses, and dragons in their pleasant places, palaces, and her time is near to come, and her days shall not be prolonged. Okay, we can go back to Revelation 18 now. It's a picture here of this government, this political economic system, business becoming drunk with power, drunk with the money, drunk with the riches. This false structure that's under the false religious system of the Antichrist is going to bring extreme wealth, exorbitant, and I'm trying to think of the right word. It's not coming out. But a lot of wealth. Now, we see in the last few decades, a lot of things have been kind of popping into place like gears in a transmission or in a wheel. Even back 20 years ago, nearly 20 years ago in 94, over 200 spiritual leaders met in Khartoum in the Sudan to discuss the need for a world council of religions representing all faith, so that they could all call for peace and harmony and a new political order and a new, you know, spiritual order of things. You know, we could all come under one system. Great idea, but it never worked. And we see things as we look at the Bible, things are still clicking into place as we see this new age coming in, the emergent church and the ecumenical movement all drawing everybody together under one roof. Great idea, but it won't work because Christianity is Christ's faith alone in Christ alone. And that's a real problem to a lot of people, to say that there is only one way to God. Verse 4, and I heard another voice from heaven saying, come out of her, my people, that you be not partakers of her sins, and that you receive not of her plagues. For her sins have reached unto heaven, and God hath remembered her iniquities. Reward her even as she rewarded you, and double unto her double according to her works. In the cup which she hath filled to her double, how much she hath glorified herself and lived deliciously. So much torment and sorrow give her, for she saith in her heart, I sit a queen and am no widow and shall see no sorrow. You know, and he's speaking of, you know, as God called Lot out of Sodom before he judged Sodom and Gomorrah, as God called Noah into a boat before he judged the world in a sin, he's saying now God is calling people out of Babylon before he pours out his judgment. Now, of course, we can't call ourselves out of here, but we can not be part of it while we're here on this earth, and he's going to call us all out when the trumpet sounds. So this voice from heaven urging God's people to leave Babylon so they won't become involved in Babylon's sin. They won't be a victim and fall a victim to the plagues, to the judgment that has to come when God pours his wrath out and his judgment out upon this spiritual Babylon. And, you know, even during times of wrath when God is judging, he still loves his people. God's desire is to protect his people, to publish Babylon, this corrupt political and financial system, this financial system we're speaking of here, and God's people, even during this time, would be, you know, the tribulation saints. They'll be on the earth. And the body of Christ at this point in time, I'm convinced, will already have been removed, according to the Thessalonians and Daniel. And we'll be, I think, taken out at the beginning of the Great Tribulation, where it's called a pre-tribulation rapture or pre-trib rapture. Now, God isn't overlooking the fact. Would you turn to Genesis 11 while I'm talking here? Genesis 11, I want to read some of the first few verses. God is not looking overlooking the fact that Babylon tried to build a tower to heaven. Babylon, the Tower of Babel. Okay? God stopped the Tower of Babel. You're probably familiar with the story. But he did that by confusing their language. Right now, we all understand what I'm saying, more or less, because we all speak English. But if I started speaking French, who knows? So those of you who speak French. But if I started speaking Mandarin, which I can't, only a few might, or if any, would understand. Well, at that time, in Genesis 11, the whole world spoke one language. How handy is that? But there was a problem. Let's read it. Genesis 11, verse 1. And the whole earth was of one language and of one speech. And it came to pass as they journeyed from the east that they found a plain in this land of Shinar, and they dwelt there. And they said one to another, go to, let us make brick and burn them thoroughly. And they had brick for stone, and slime had they for mortar. And they said, go to, let us build us a city and a tower whose top may reach into heaven. And let us make us a name. Oh, let's make us a name, lest we be scattered abroad upon the face of the whole earth. And I mean, when Noah and his family left, they were to go out across the world. And he says, no, we want to stay in one place. Well, we don't want to be scattered. And so it is in rebellion against God. And the Lord came down to see the city and the tower, which the children of men built. Now, don't think that, oh, God was not aware of it. Maybe an angel whispered in his ear, hey, you got to see what's going on down in Babel. God knows all things. He already knew. But he comes down, and the Lord said, behold, the people are one, and they have all one language. In this they begin to do, and now nothing will be restrained from them which they have imagined to do. Go to, let us go down, and there confuse their language, that they may not understand one another's speech. So the Lord scattered them abroad from thence upon the face of all the earth, and they left off to build the city. Therefore is the name of it called Babel, because the Lord did there babble the language, or confound the language of all the earth. And from thence did the Lord scatter them abroad upon the face of the earth. So we can go back to Revelation 18 again now. To stop the sins of Babylon in the end times, it says that he'll burn her to the ground. We know that God's judgment at this point is certainly delayed, but it will be certain. And it may seem like unbelievers are getting away with sin. They're getting away with all this torment and the disaster they're bringing upon the Christians. And in Babylon, the system, the political, the financial system will be killing many of God's people. But it's certain that God will take care of that. He will bring judgment. Those who give no mercy will receive no mercy. In Galatians 6:7, Paul said, be not deceived, God's not mocked, for whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. God's justice is true justice. God's justice is certain. We can be sure it will come. And God didn't just throw everything into existence and then stand off passively watching. He's always working for He's working things for his glory, in his plan, in his time. I know it doesn't always go along with my timeline. But here we have a time when Babylon is very wealthy, very independent, no longer needing God. And in Matthew 19, I want to read two verses to you. Jesus said, verily I say unto you that a rich man shall hardly enter into the kingdom of God. It's easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of God. If you've ever tried to put even a thread through a needle, you know how hard that is. And I know there are references to the gate and all that, but I'm thinking emulsified camel through the eye of a needle myself. But just beware of self-confidence. Beware that we listen to who God is. And as we look, if we review the history of the world and all the different nations that have come and gone, one of the greatest stumbling blocks and the thing that caused them to fall was power and prosperity. What do a lot of people in the world today seek? Power and prosperity. Great stock portfolio, great bank account. And we even have within the Christian community what's called a health and wealth doctrine. Name it and claim it, blab it and grab it, you know, whatever you want to call it. But it says that, you know, if you believe in God, of course, God loves his people. He wants you to be rich and healthy. They have a real problem when if you lose your bank account or if you get sick. You know, it's a real problem then. And there can be times, depending on your situation, where we have times in life where we seem to work and work and work and can't get ahead. We're just surviving. It's buy and maintain our stuff. But think, I know I've been around since 44, and I during World War II, I wasn't that aware in my first 10 years, but I watched from the 50s up until today, I think how things have changed and in the housing, in the wages, in the cars. I remember when TV antennas started going up on houses. Don't even see those anymore, do we? Radios. I remember when there weren't little portable radios. Now I can get it on my phone, you know, we can get it through the internet. The clothing changes, everything. We have stuff and stuff and more stuff, and you can get a garage full of stuff and a house full of stuff and a basement full of stuff. And I'm not against stuff. We have stuff, but it's just the problem is we're stuff oriented, and then sometimes we accumulate a lot of stuff and wonder where the money went. Where'd it go? Where are all the receipts for all these things? Maybe you feel like the prophet Haggai in Haggai 1:6. He says, "You've sown much. And you bring in a little. You eat and you have not enough. You drink, but you're not full with drink. You clothe you, but there's none warm. And he that earns wages to put into a bag or a pocket with holes." Maybe you felt like that. Keep putting money in my pocket or my account and it's just got holes. And I'm thinking, we go through Revelation 18, we see that we have these corporations, and we see this today, global corporations, where their importance is the bottom line. They make decisions simply to produce wealth, looking for a bigger return on their investment, just to please the stockholders, because they're going to have an annual meeting and they need to, you know, be all right there with them, with no idea or even desire to see or to show God's love, his grace, his mercy. In fact, God is rarely considered or consulted in many of the corporations today. I don't know about you. I don't know how many of you pray with your boss. I pray with my doctor. He's a believer. That's a blessing. Or with your workmates or family members. What's happened is the world is willfully blinded by greed and ambition. And it's going to get worse. God will judge them when their sins are piled high enough. Therefore, he says in verse 8, therefore shall her plagues come in one day, death and mourning and famine, and she shall be utterly burned with fire. For strong is the Lord God who judges her. So we have this Babylon, powerful home of the one world government, global trade, impressed with herself, controlling powerful weaponry, great armies, but compared to the Lord God who will judge her, nothing. By the word of the Lord, the heavens were made, and all the hosts of them by the breath of his mouth. It says in Psalm 33:6, man's strength against such power is like shooting a BB gun against a bomber or an atomic bomb by comparison. And we know that in one day God will judge Babylon, this spiritual Babylon, as this angel passes over, this angel of death. And Babylon, it says that they'll mourn, they'll run out of food, it'll be burned to the ground. This sounds like something physical. Speaking of commercial Babylon, if it's commercial Babylon, maybe it's the money system imploding, maybe it's a virus that gets out and knocks everything out. You ever wondered where the real money is when you're transferring money back and forth? It's just electrons. It's all it is. It's bits and bytes. I mean, it could be a bomb that levels physical Babylon, or it could be a computer program. Speaking of bombs, did you ever hear about the story about Love Him, love him, then drop the bomb. I don't know if you've heard this. I love this story. It's a pastor tells a wife story about a wife that came into his office and said she had so much hatred toward her husband. She said, I don't only want to get rid of him. I want to get even. I want to divorce him, but before I divorce him, I want to hurt him as much as he has hurt me. So the pastor thought a minute and he said, I have an idea for you. Go home and act as if you really love your husband. Tell him how much he means to you. Praise him for every decent trait that he has. Go out of your way to be as kind and considerate and generous as possible. Spare no efforts to please him, to enjoy him. Make him believe that you really love him. After you've convinced him that you're undying of your undying love and that you cannot live without him, then drop the bomb. Tell him that you're getting a divorce. That'll really hurt him. And she had that revenge look in her eye, and she said, beautiful, beautiful. Will he ever be surprised? And she did it with enthusiasm, acting as if. And 2 months went by, and she showed love and kindness and listening and giving and reinforcing and sharing and all that. And she didn't come back. And so the pastor called up and said, are you ready to go through with the divorce? She said, divorce? Never. I discovered I really do love him. Her actions had changed her feelings for him. The motion resulted in emotion. You know, we get our feet going. Oftentimes we say, well, I follow my heart. Don't do that. Your heart's deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. We get our feet going and the heart will follow. And what she did was her motion resulted in emotion. She had an emotion for her husband, and that ability to love is established not so much by promise, but deeds, getting ourselves going and just doing it and dragging our heart along with it. So it's okay to drop the love bomb on each other and watch out for the results. Verse 9, let's move on here. And the kings of the earth who have committed fornication and live deliciously with her shall bewail her and lament for her when they shall see the smoke of her burning, standing afar off, for the fear of her torment, saying, alas, alas, that great city Babylon, that mighty city, for in 1 hour is thy judgment come. So he's just saying that, you know, Babylon's destruction will be worldwide news. CNN will carry it. In today's world, it makes sense because we can see it all in a flash. And the leaders around the world who supported Babylon, he says, will see the smoke rising into the air, will shake in fear. The panic will be worldwide. In verse 11, he says, and the merchants of the earth shall weep and mourn over her, for no man buys their merchandise anymore. And the merchandise of gold and silver and precious stones and pearls and linen and purple and silk and scarlet and all thyine wood and all manner vessels of ivory and all manner vessels of most precious wood, brass, iron, and marble, cinnamon and odors and ointments and frankincense and wine and computer modules and oil. Oops, that wasn't in there. In oil and fine flour and wheat and beasts and sheep and horses and chariots and slaves and souls of men. No more UPS. No more FedEx. The heads of state will weep. The businessmen, the CEOs, they'll weep. They'll look at what's going on around. But it's not over the loss of life. It's not over the loss of souls into hell. It's not even over the depth of the sin that they find themselves in, because they don't even recognize their own sin. But they'll weep and mourn over the loss of customers, the loss of revenue, over the loss of stuff. Can't buy any more stuff. But it indicates that Babylon here will be like a boomtown with billionaires heading there to gather great wealth, you know, whether it's to a real location or just, you know, through the internet, you tie into it, you can get great wealth. He's saying it'll all come to nothing. And if you turn in your Bibles to James, the New Testament book of James, I want to read through the first 6 verses of chapter 5 with you, James 5. So, you know, there is such a thing as the gift of wealth. I don't have it. I don't think I'll ever have it, unless somebody drops a few million on me. But though, that, you know, who knows? Who cares? Could help a lot of mission fields, I suppose. When God gives wealth, though, it's not just to enrich a few. It's to benefit society. It's to be spread out. And it's really awesome when a person has a gift of wealth and a gift of giving at the same time. I don't recruit them, but it's good to have them around, you know. There are people around this country and around the world that support the body of Christ in wonderful ways in mission fields and all. Let me just read this. Here's a prophecy in James 5, verses 1 through 6. He says, "Go to now, you rich men. Weep and howl for your miseries that shall come upon you. Your riches are corrupted, and your garments are moth-eaten. Your gold and silver is cankered, and the rust of them shall be a witness against you, and shall eat your flesh as it were fire. You've heaped treasure together for the last days. Behold, the hire of the laborers who have reaped down your fields, which is of you kept back by fraud, crieth. And the cries of them which have reaped are entered into the ears of the Lord of Sabaoth. You have lived in pleasure on the earth and been wanton." Sounds like that verse out of Haggai. "You've nourished your hearts as in a day of slaughter. You've condemned and killed the just, and he doth not resist you." Back to Revelation 18 again, verse 15. We know that so in our own nation. We have a wonderful nation, but we do have a free will that allows us to get into debt even, buying stuff. I don't know if you know it, but the original Declaration of Independence, in it, Thomas Jefferson wrote that man had the inalienable rights of life, liberty, and the pursuit of possessions. He did. The committee that worked on the document changed the wording to pursuit of happiness. It just sounded so less carnal, probably. But thinking in our world hasn't really changed that much, that we still have the pursuit of possessions often. Not everybody, anybody in this room, perhaps, but, you know, those that are on the other side of the canal. Wait a minute, I live on the other side of the canal. No, never mind. Many Americans think that and seem to feel that our happiness lies with our things. Jesus says, "No, it doesn't. It lies in me." And often we say, "No, it doesn't. It lies in me." And at this time that we talk about here in Revelation chapter 18, human life will be cheap because people will be sold as merchandise. The world system of this false antichrist, this false religion, this will dehumanize mankind. People will be sold in slavery. People are sold into slavery today. We just don't hear about it. Verse 14, "And the fruits that thy soul lusted after are departed from thee, and all things which were dainty and godly, I'm sorry, and goodly are departed from thee, and thou shalt find them no more at all." The global traders will realize that this Babylonian dream has been destroyed, and all the riches and the glory is gone forever. And the merchants, in verse 15, he says, "The merchants of these things which were made rich by her shall stand afar off for the fear of her torment, weeping and wailing, and saying, Alas, alas, that great city that was clothed in fine linen and purple and scarlet and decked with gold and precious stones and pearls." Those businessmen that prospered here is talking about with this commercial system here will not go near the source of all the problems. It says burnt out ruins, physical location, system, whatever you want. But they'll cry and grieve and keep their distance. And the panic's going to be greater than the great crash in 29. I wasn't here in 1929, but the stock market crashed. And there will be some in today's world where you can sit halfway across the world and still see what's going on around. And, it's, you know, they'll be watching their big flat screen TVs and weeping and wailing is the idea here. Perhaps even thinking back to some Christians they knew that spoke of these things that were to come, and they kind of went, "Yeah, right. Leave me alone. I have money to make." And it says here that first, the businessmen cry because Babylon's great power didn't protect them. Now they cry because her beauty, her wealth, won't protect them. And there's a principle here that no matter how rich, no matter how beautiful or how powerful a thing is, if God decides it will fall, it will surely fall. We should all be wise in our financial planning, but more important than that is our eternal planning. We need to have Jesus Christ mutual life, or maybe Jesus Christ security life plan. You know, it's the best insurance plan there is. and it's better than any portfolio. I don't know if you've all maybe heard of Woody Allen. He said, I don't want to achieve immortality through my work. I want to achieve immortality by not dying. What he doesn't understand is that we are eternal creatures. Even though the body dies, we don't die. We have eternal life. And it's only through faith in Christ that we can get the glory to spend it with him. It's only done through faith in Christ. So verse 17, as we get close to the end of the chapter here. For in one hour, so great riches has come to nothing, and every shipmaster and all the company and ships and sailors and as many as trade by sea stood afar off and cried when they saw the smoke of her burning, saying, what city is like unto this great city? And he's just talking about the sudden destruction of this great wealth and this great system is catastrophic. And it says here, first, the political leadership who worship Babylon will cry. And then the global merchants, these people that traded around the world, they'll cry. They're doing business with her. And then the seamen who transport their goods back and forth, there's no more of that. They'll cry. And because hauling business and materials back and forth around the world, this merchandise is going to be a great business. But he says in 1 hour, her wealth will be gone. And everyone who earns a living shipping by the sea will mourn the loss of the goods, the jobs, the businesses. And, you know, we're talking, again, future history. I don't think we'll be here for this. Think about this. How much do we depend on global markets? Goods from other country. The word China comes to mind. Walmart, China. How long could we survive without a global economy? Well, we have a lot of local economy here. A lot of even American manufactured parts or manufactured items have China parts in them. Look at the things around your house and see how much is made in China. You can buy, someone was saying they went to Israel and bought, some collector item of Jerusalem, and it's in the back it said made in China. You know, so it's everywhere. And verse 19 said, they cast dust on their heads, and they cried and weeping and wailing, saying, alas, alas, that great city and wherein were made rich all that had ships in the sea by reason of their costliness. For in 1 hour is she made desolate. Rejoice over her, thou heaven, and be ye holy apostles and prophets, for God hath avenged you on her. It's the third time they're told here that Babylon will fall, verses 10 and 17 and 19 here. And so he's saying this is going to, in a short time, the political system, the business system, the religious system, the shipping system is all going to be weeping and stunned at the loss. And this is what the love of money can do to people. If money's your God, when money is gone, your God is gone. It's just as simple as that. What's left but grief, godless grief. I like what Paul said to Timothy, the love of money is the root of all evil. He didn't say money's the root of all evil, but the love of it, which while some coveted after, they've erred from the faith and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. When you think of this 1 hour devastation as an atomic explosion, there are indications. The fact that they don't go near it could be an indication that it's something physical like that. But here we see the difference between God's people and the godless. One rejoices and sings praises to God. The other is scared and grieves and mourns for the loss of their God, money. In verse 21, and a mighty angel took up a stone with a great millstone, or like a great millstone, and cast it into the sea, saying, thus with violence shall that great city Babylon be thrown down, and shall be found no more at all. Idea of a big stone thrown into the sea, disappearing forever down in there, just symbolizing how sudden and how violent and how big this destruction is of this system, this future system. One fatal blow from God's hand takes it out. In the end, what happens is Babylon brings judgment on itself for mistreating God's people, for rejecting God. Because ultimately, it comes down to what's in our heart. Do we have faith in Christ? Verse 22 says, in the voice of harpers and musicians and of pipers and trumpeters shall be heard no more at all in thee, and no craftsman or whatsoever craft he be shall be found any more in thee. and the sound of a millstone shall be heard no more at all in thee, and the light of a candle shall shine no more at all in thee, and the voice of the bridegroom and of the bride shall be heard no more at all in thee. For thy merchants were great men of the earth, for by thy sorceries were all nations deceived. Everything's going to cease, from the entertainment industry all the way to manual labor. It's just going to be gone. No more music in Babylon. No people going to work. No craftsmen. Everything is silenced, it says here. Now, the ancient Babylonians were influenced by astrology and fortune-telling, the occult, a lot of occultism. In our world today, we have a lot of that going around in us, in our society, in the United States and across the world. As many believe in astrology, have astrological charts drawn up, psychics reading their palms and being used by the law enforcement to solve crimes. You wonder how they do that? They channel with demonic spirits who were there when the crime was committed, and they'll whisper in their ears so that they can do miraculous things and make it look like God's at work. It's not. They don't care. If they can deceive a person into thinking that this is truth and keep them from the truth of God long enough for them to die without God, without Christ, they'll do that. And meditation is still popular today. Meditation is the emptying of the mind. The enemy loves that when through drugs, pharmakia, or meditation, we empty the mind so that the enemy can speak in. That we watched the video on yoga and the dangers of yoga. It's not just the physical discipline, but in Kundalini is where the serpent speaks to you and even comes around and faces you in the higher levels of it. And many people seek channelers so they can speak to dead relatives. It's been going on for centuries. But much of the world today sounds like this ancient Babylon. And the final verse here. In her was found the blood of prophets and of saints and of all that were slain upon the earth. So this Babylonian system will be responsible for the blood of many saints. Jesus warned in Matthew 24, great prophetic chapter to read when you have time to sit down. Many prophets, many false prophets shall arise and shall deceive many. So deceit is going to reach epic proportions. If you can even imagine people in leadership in government, like presidents and CEOs of business, lying to us. Use your imagination, right? Not real hard, is it? But beware of any religious leader who speaks ill of Jesus and opposes Scripture. Any message that contradicts the Bible, it isn't in line with it, is not from God, no matter how sweet it sounds. And I like the story, I like to tell the story, and I do it often, about standing where the fire has already been. Maybe you've heard this. Many years ago, a father and a daughter were walking through the grass on a Canadian prairie. In the distance, they saw a huge prairie fire. And I mean, they rush across the plains. They realized that it would soon engulf them. The father knew that the only way of escape was to light a fire. And he lit a fire right where they were and then stepped back and let it burn off a large patch of grass. When the huge fire drew near, they stood on the section that was already burned. And the fire went around them. As the fire approached them, the girl was terrified by the raging flames. I mean, it was rushing right at them. But her father assured her, "The flames can't get to us. We are standing where the fire has already been." That's something to remember if you ever get caught in a fire like that. If you trusted Christ as Savior, you can never come under God's wrath, because the fire of God's judgment was poured out on Christ on the cross. If you're not in Christ, may today be that day of salvation for you as Jesus Christ becomes your Lord and Savior. When your faith is in Him, you are already where the fire of God's wrath has been poured out. You're in the burned out place where the wrath of God's fire has already been. I love being in Christ because I know I won't get burned, because I'm sealed. I know that I'm saved. And God's judgment has already been poured out on His Son, and He took it for me, and He took it for you. To Him be all the glory. Let's stand and pray. Truly, Lord, to You go all the glory. What a magnificent salvation plan, not in works of righteousness that we might do, Lord, but and the righteous act that your Son did in obeying the Father all the way to the cross. So, Lord, as we look at these chapters in Revelation, Lord, let us not fear if we are in Christ. Let us not fear, Lord, because we are secure, but to be concerned about our loved ones, our friends, that we might be bold enough to share this wonderful truth, that they need not face God's judgment, Lord. These chapters can be scary, but they're future history because God wants to warn that there's something coming, and please get your life right with me, he says. Come to me now. So we just pray, Lord, that any who don't know you would come to you, Lord. And I pray, Lord, for a boldness and a grace as we're out in the community and amongst family members, that we would have that boldness to share the truth and love of all that we know. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Okay.